I'm Carolyn Palmer. Today, Alex and I will talk about modeling entrainment and synchrony with predictive coding and dynamical systems. This is an exciting time to work in this area because of the many methods available to us for testing entrainment and synchrony. First, we'll start with some definitions. Entrainment in the neural sense refers to when the phase relationships among oscillating systems align. In the physics sense, entrainment refers to when an oscillator changes its frequency in response to a stimulus. Although there are variations on these two definitions, they appear quite often in the literature. Today we're going to focus on anticipatory synchronization and interpret that in terms of entrainment. This refers to the human tendency to produce tones sooner than a stimulus. For example, musicians produce tones about 30 to 50 milliseconds sooner than a regular auditory stimulus. And we ask why, what is the mechanism? Two popular models have been applied to synchronization. One is predictive coding, which assumes synchronization requires an internal model of the stimulus. The another is dynamical systems, which assumes synchronization requires coupling of intrinsic oscillator periods with the stimulus. You can see the relationship between entrainment and synchronization. We'll start with predictive coding models and talk about their assumptions and computations. They use an internal model top-down to predict future behavior, usually in a hierarchical organization in which lower levels receive sensory input that's projected to higher levels. Kirsch and colleagues showed an example of predictive coding models applied to music perception. The computations include minimizing the prediction error over iterations across levels using Bayesian inference. The error units at the bottom level sense the incoming information and compute the prediction error with the aid of prior probabilities at the top level that encode the probability that a stimulus matches a predicted state. So, applications of predictive coding models to synchronization include Hegley's study, in which two partners tapped patterns in threes or fours with a metronome. Auditory feedback matched or mismatched the partner's sound in non-interactive and bidirectional feedback conditions. They found that asynchrony variability became larger when the feedback was mismatched. This was explained in terms of larger prediction error resulting from the partner's different internal models. Elliott and colleagues had individuals synchronize with two ambiguous auditory rhythms that differed in their mean asynchrony and variances. A Bayesian inference model was fit to the asynchrony variability to capture the prior probabilities associated with the auditory cues. Prediction errors indicated strategies to minimize the variance and find a regular beat. So, in summary, these predictive coding models have been applied successfully to ambiguous or competing percepts. Prior odds based on internal models are tested via asynchrony variance, not in terms of the mean or direction of synchrony, such as anticipatory synchrony. Next, we'll hear about the dynamical systems models.
Hello, my name is Alex Demos, and I'm going to take you through the dynamical systems approach. So specifically, we measure how systems change over time, and we express that through difference or differential equations. We often look for emergent behavior, where parts interact to form something new. And synchrony has bottom-up origins, which is best exemplified by the Kuramoto model. Here on the figure on the right, you can see that as the oscillators that are coupled increase in their coupling strength, there is a point where they reach a critical threshold and the system will spontaneously synchronize. In addition to just coupling strength, we can have delay coupled models. This is where we add a delay term to the coupling terms, and this can account for the directionality and the amount of synchrony. Next, I'm going to take you through some computations of a delay coupled model. First, we'll start with a driver oscillator. This driver oscillator has its own natural frequency. We also have a driven oscillator. This one has a natural frequency of its own, but it's coupled to the behavior of the driver oscillator. And it looks at its own past behavior and compares it to the present of the driver to adjust the behavior of the driven oscillator, which causes it to anticipate the driver oscillator. Now, time delay could be thought of as neural transmissions, and in particular, it could come from cell membrane potentials, myelinization, or path length. Here's an extension of delay coupling to two partner situation, where each person has their own coupling and their own delay terms. From here, we can examine the change in the system both experimentally and computationally by removing auditory feedback during the performance. Here's an example where we remove the feedback from both performers, which would, in a sense, set both Ks to zero, and thus both should actually go back to their natural frequencies. So in addition to just removing both feedback, you can remove the feedback of both one individual or the other, and you can make specific predictions based on the way the model would work. For example, if you remove the lower part, we would see partner two anticipate partner one. If you remove the upper part, you could see partner one anticipate partner two. And as I said earlier, if you remove both parts, you'll see phase drift. So on the right here, you can see the predictions of the model. Now, if you actually compare that to performers' performance, we can see the pattern holds, suggesting that both were anticipating each other, and as you manipulate the feedback, you get changes in anticipation. In a recent extension, Machado applied delay coupling models to synaptic conductance, specifically for excitatory and inhibitory units. There, they were able to get the predicted anticipatory synchronization, as well as see bifurcations such as in bistable percepts, such as the Necker cube, which could be extended to apply to complex or ambiguous meters. Roman examined the non-musician's tendency to over-anticipate the beat. And here, starting with some data from Rep and Doggett, you can take a look at inter-onset intervals that are faster, like 1,000, to very slow, like 3,500, and you can see that the non-musicians tend to over-anticipate that beat. And by taking an extension approach to the delay coupling and moving it towards amplitude delay coupling, they were able to get out the difference between the musicians and the non-musicians in the degree to which they anticipate the beat. Next, I'll turn it back to Carolyn, who's going to go through and compare the two approaches.
Where does this leave us? The models have similarities. Both predictive coding and dynamical systems models are sensitive to differences in internal and external states. Both are neurophysiologically grounded. For example, the predictive coding model on the left and the dynamical systems model on the right both rely on layers of inhibitory and excitatory neurons. The primary difference is the time-delayed feedback in the model on the right. Both models address change over time. Other differences include the role of prior knowledge about the resulting output and a focus on synchronization mean or variability. Only dynamical systems theories provide a mechanism for anticipatory synchronization. In terms of future directions, remaining issues to resolve include developmental changes across the lifespan, context effects, and individual differences such as special populations. One group at the Virtual Brain is developing a full-scale model based on delay coupling. They ask the interesting question about personalized brain simulation. Do these time delays in signal transmission differ with disease specificity? So the models may become more similar as more is known about brain dynamics. Thank you to our organizers, and we look forward to your questions.